make sure I don't mix up my water bottles here. This one's probably someone's, and I'll keep mine over here. That's good, okay? You never know, right? Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Pam, I just want to say before you slip out of there, what a beautiful, beautiful song. Just a beautiful song. I tell you, that's just, man, I'm so excited to be here today, and I just want to publicly praise the Lord for his goodness in healing your pastor. Amen? Man, oh man. I tell you what, to see Pastor Darrell back on his feet again, brother, I know those were some dark days. I can't even imagine what that was like. I tried to listen to your sermon, but for some reason on my computer, it wasn't coming through right. My internet wasn't working right, but Robert told me I need to listen to that sermon that you preach, and I'm going to listen to that sermon. I want to hear that sermon, and I know the Lord ministered to you like no one else could. Man, I tried to get in to see you. I know your wife wanted to get in to see you. Other people wanted. I think for healing, it ought to be that you ought to let some family member in there or a pastor or someone just to come and pray at the bedside. Put a piece of plexiglass in between the bed and the person. I don't know. I mean, they do it at Lowe's that way, right? But we couldn't get in there. So I remember the Lord saying to me, well, you know, your prayers are just as good in your car as they are in the at the hospital bed. And I said, well, yes, Lord, you're right. But man, brother, there was people praying for you all over this world. And to see you here today and your precious honey, that is just such a blessing. We serve a God who's in the miracle working business. Amen? Amen. You didn't need Benny Hinn's prayer hanky. All you needed was just the good Lord, right? Amen. You know, I was sitting down here thinking about Friends of Israel, and I just was reminded, and Alicia reminded me, this week, we had a conversation with Odea. Remember Odea? And she FaceTimed us from Israel. And this was in the midst of, can you imagine, 4,000 rockets, over 4,000 rockets being launched into Israel. Can you imagine? And as a matter of fact, one of her friends' homes was hit. They lost their home. God spared their lives, but they lost their home. And she said it's a very grave situation. There's a ceasefire right now, but please continue to pray for Israel, for the peace of Israel. And folks, it won't be long. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm just hoping we'll hear that trumpet sound before we say the final amen today. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? And so just continue to pray for the Kalishers and Lord willing, we'll just see what happens there. But thank you for your prayers for us as well as we ministered in Coatesville, PA back in April. We served at the camp of the Old Mill, and this is an extension of the County Corrections Gospel Mission. And they really, this camp ministers to kids from Coatesville, from Philly, from New York, from Jersey, from D.C. even. They'll bring kids in from down there, from in the inner cities. And most of those kids that come have already had a family member that has been shot, stabbed, killed from gang violence. I mean, it's just that's just a normal way of life for most of those kids that go there. But they get out of that setting and they come to a place where they can hear the gospel, and many of them give their lives to Christ. And the neat thing is they are now on the third generation of counselors of kids that have come through and that have come back now to help serve in that camp, that God has made a difference in their lives. And we got to hear a lot about that ministry, and Alicia's heart was so touched by that, that this June, here just 2 months away, or next month rather, she'll be volunteering for a week to go there and minister to inner city kids. So you can be praying for her about that. She's looking forward to that, and we're excited for that opportunity for her. And then in March, we found ourselves in New Mexico, and we came alongside of Dwayne and Diane Bristow, who ministered to the Navajo people. And I got to tell you, the reservation, if you've never been on a reservation before, I've been on a reservation before, but I didn't quite remember it quite like this. It's literally a country within our country. I mean, they have their own president, they have their own leaders, they have their own, they have all of that. And when I say country within our country, literally, it's almost as if it's like a third world country. many of the Navajo people still do not have electricity or running water. And they live in shacks, and it's just kind of a very poor way of life. There's domestic violence. You have casinos and alcohol. I mean, that seems to solve everybody's problems, doesn't it? And so they have that, but it's just left them just absolutely destitute. And the spiritual darkness that has just surrounded them for long, long generations is just a spiritual stronghold that the gospel can penetrate. Amen? And it's neat to see when Navajo people come to Christ, and it's quite a transformation. So we got to spend some time there, and we were so moved by just kind of observing that ministry that we said, Lord, we'd love next year to take two teams there. And so we kind of been praying about that. Well, the Lord already has answered that prayer. We've got one team that's a definite. And I just was notified over the weekend from another church asking, hey, we'd love to go to the Navajo people and go minister. So we're going to work on some dates. And so all that being said, that'll be five teams for next year already. God's just kind of opened up those doors, and we're excited about that. And I just get excited to see what God is doing. And then you guys, we'll lead a team from here down to Kentucky in September. And as a matter of fact, we'll have our planning meeting, as Zach said, after the service today. And I think there might even be pizza, I think, Zach, or something like that. So you'll want to be there for that. Thank you for the donations that you're bringing in. I see, I have your list. I have it in my folder. I think this month is hats or winter coats, I think, maybe, or something like that. And listen, we can't take too much down, so bring it in, okay? We'll get it down there. But they will need those things, especially in September when we leave. You are my last team there. And winters down in Kentucky are very harsh for very poor people. So please make sure you get those things in. That will be a blessing. And listen, there's a group here that's going. Some of you are not going, but that doesn't mean you can't be a part of what's happening. It takes everybody doing something. Some can go, some can give, some can donate. It's just all part of God using this church to be an impact down there. And so we're kind of excited about that. And who knows, maybe God will raise up a missionary right from this congregation. I don't know. I've seen it happen before, so just can't rule that out. And then Kathy and I, we just want to thank you for your continued love and your prayers and your support for us as one of your missionary families. And we say family because we know you treat us like family. And so we feel pretty special to be one of your supported missionaries. And listen, we cannot do what we do and go where we go without a team of people surrounding us in prayer on a constant basis. And I really mean that. Listen, it's a spiritual battle out there, isn't it? I mean, this isn't kid stuff. This is the real deal. And lives are in the balance. And so we just need a team of people surrounding us in prayer. So that's kind of a little update about what's happening. Oh, let me give you an update on Porter. Porter is in a good way right now. Keep praying. I mean, he's doing really well. Am I right, Kath? He's doing pretty good. He's even now sleeping through the night. Maybe he gets up twice in the night now. Remember before he was getting up 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times? Now, just 2 times, his feeding tube's going well. They've adjusted his medicine. He just seems to be right now in a good place. One thing you can pray for about him is we're figuring out he does not sweat. Now, you know, we don't like to sweat, but God gave us that for a reason, to cool our bodies down. And if he were outside today, just out in this sun, maybe 10 minutes, he is beet red. He's just red. He just won't sweat. So that's an ongoing thing that we're working out and need your prayers on that maybe there's a medicine for that. We don't know yet. That's just kind of, we're figuring that out right now. So please continue to keep him in prayer. Well, all right, let's transition to the message here. But I got to tell you, the following story that I'm about to unfold to you took place years ago, while Kathy and I were stationed in Germany. I was in the Air Force. Here's my other good Air Force buddy over here. And any other Air Force guys in here? Okay, thank you. Any other branches of the military? God bless you. I know. We're praying for you guys too. But the Air Force is the only smart ones, you know, because we send our officers into battle. You know that, right? So anyway, I had to get that out there. But while we were stationed in Germany, we just had a wonderful church, Rhineland Baptist Church. It was a wonderful church, and I don't know if you ever knew Roy Grigsby. Did you ever know Roy Grigsby? He was our first pastor in Germany, and when Roy left, then another pastor came in by the name of Gib Wood, and Brother Woody, as we call him Brother Woody, and he and his wife Kathy were just a wonderful transition of leadership. Roy actually came back here to the States, pastored over in McConnellsville, or McConnellsburg, I think it was, and Pastor Woody took up there. Anyway, the church was growing. We were in a really good place, and we had some incredible leaders. We had great Sunday school teachers at all different levels. We had good deacons that really just loved the ministry, loved the Lord, loved to see the work of God moving forward. And we actually had some really good couples, because Kathy and I were young. We were 19, 20, well, maybe 20, 20 right in that age. I guess we were really young. And we were watching other people in their marriages around us because we were trying to figure it all out. And God surrounded us with some really good couples. As a matter of fact, one of those couples we still keep in touch with today. And they live down in Florida, and they're retired, and they just still call. They send us cards. We talk on the phone. They have still modeled what it means to love Jesus and to love each other. And what a great example that we need, right? Our marriages need to do that, because there's younger couples that are watching you. Amen? They're watching you. And listen, we're growing up in a world where most marriages just don't make it anymore. Okay, so they're watching. They want to know, can it work? Well, yeah, and it's going to take work to make it work. Amen? Right? So we just had some good couples. And our church at that time had a deacon board. And I remember one of those deacons that we really looked up to. He and his wife were very close to another couple who were incredible Sunday school teachers. And, I mean, they were just fantastic. Great with kids. And these two couples, they spent a lot of time together. They became best friends. And the one thing that lacked in both of those couples' marriages was something called boundaries. And because there were no boundaries in place, the deacon and the wife of the Sunday school teacher made some very wrong choices, and they ended up in an adulterous relationship. And I got to be honest with you, that just didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. It was a product of something that had been going on for quite some time, way under the radar. Listen, you think your pastor knows everything? He doesn't know everything, right? Right, Brother Daryl? Sometimes we're the last to find out anything. And we hate learning things through Facebook, okay? That's what we don't like to learn. We like people. And so this, as you can imagine, just devastated the church. It was way under the radar of the church pastor and the other leaders. And I remember going to the deacon, because I was a young guy, and I looked up to this guy, and I said to him, and I said, I got to know, how did it get here? What happened? And the words that he said to me, I will never forget. And I'm going to give them to you verbatim, what he said to me, because I've never forgotten them. This is what he said to me. How could something so wrong feel so right? I was just blown away by that. How could something so wrong feel so right? Well, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And because there were no boundaries that were in place, the hearts of these two of God's children became ensnared in sinful thoughts, and sinful thoughts gave over to sinful actions. And when it came out, the church was wounded and shocked, and the families of those involved were devastated, as you can imagine. And I would love to say that it got worked out, but it has still not ever worked out. The truth of the matter is, your heart will lie to you in an instant, and as believers, you and I must constantly be on watch to guard our heart. To guard our heart. So turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. We're just going to kind of look at just a couple of verses from Proverbs. And Zach, so appropriately, I just told him the title of the message, but he was in Proverbs as well, because Proverbs deals a lot with what? The heart, right? Proverbs deals a lot with the heart. Proverbs chapter 4, and I want to look specifically at verses 20 to 27, all right? Verses 20 to 27, all right? So just kind of follow along as I read. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine what? Heart. For they are life unto all those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy what? Heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, the writer of this proverb is King Solomon, and the first seven chapters of Proverbs, he's writing to his sons and giving them fatherly advice. It would kind of like be, I have to have pictures in my mind of how things play out. And so I kind of picture like a father sitting on the edge of the bed saying to his sons, hey, sons, sit here with me. I want to talk to you. And the boys just coming in, and maybe some of them sitting on the floor and sitting around, but dad is talking to the sons. And dads, let me tell you something. Listen to me. What you teach your sons is invaluable. All right? So teach them the right things. I didn't have a good teacher as a father. God had to put other men in my life to become that father figure. But I want to make sure that I'm passing on to my sons. Now, whether they choose to listen, that's a whole nother thing. But I'm going to pass on to them the right instruction, right? And so that's what he's kind of doing here. He's writing to his sons. He's giving them fatherly advice. This was instruction passed on to him by his father, David. And now he's passing it on to his sons. Unfortunately, Solomon's life did not heed the instruction that he was giving, and especially in his relationships with women. Solomon had a great start, but he didn't finish well. I find it interesting, the wisest man on all the earth became a fool in the end. Can you imagine that? Why? And listen, none of us are exempt, right? None of us are exempt. And so we've got to exercise wisdom and discretion in everything we do. And in this passage that we just read, Solomon identifies four principles for guarding your heart. They are super simple. I'm all for simple. Amen? So if you want to write these down as we go, you can do that. Maybe off in the margin of your Bible there or something like that. The first one is this. Recognize the treasure. Recognize the treasure of your heart. Look again at verse 21 and 22 of Proverbs chapter 4. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto all those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 21 says, let them not depart. Another version says, above all else. Like, it communicates priority. The priority is above everything else. Let them not depart. And Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, is communicating that above power, above riches, above position, above everything that the world screams is important, he says this, guard your heart. Guard your heart. And then look at verse 22. So we have priority in verse 21. Look at verse 22. For they are life. This communicates promise. So you have the priority, recognizing the treasure, the priority, guard them with, let them not depart. And then the promise, they are life. And when your heart is right, it brings life more abundantly. Amen? It brings life more abundantly. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about the heart. Jesus had a lot to say about the heart. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, listen to what he says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, right? And with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And you see, when you and I are loving God like this, we are guarding the treasure of our heart. Dads, you need to not only teach your sons, but teach your daughters to guard their hearts. Someone will try and steal their heart. And they want, and you want for that to be the person God brings into their life. Teach them to guard their hearts. For they are life. It communicates promise. And the text identifies that guarding your heart is more important than anything else. You know what else Jesus had to say about the heart? Keep your hand there in Proverbs. Go over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Notice what he says here. You know, Jesus didn't mince words, did he, Pastor Darrell? I think if we would say some of the same things that Jesus said, we'd probably be run out of some places, you know. But notice what he says here when he's preaching to the Pharisees. Oh, my. Okay, look at Mark chapter, or Matthew chapter 15. Notice verses 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Jesus also taught that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? We're commanded to hide God's word in our heart. Right? And so the heart is this treasure. We're commanded to trust the Lord with all our heart. And remember the story of when Samuel said, what Samuel said to God when God was choosing a king. Remember, God said, Saul is not going to be king anymore, Samuel. You got to go anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And when you get there, I'll show you who he is. And so David goes, Samuel goes, and he goes to Jesse, and he says, Jesse, hey, bring in the boys. And so Jesse does, and he brings them all in except David, because, you know, David, he's out with the sheep. It's not going to be him anyway. He's just a young guy, and you know. But oh my, I got my older ones here. I got all them here. And so he brings them in, and you know, you kind of know the story. And Samuel goes to the first one. He's got his horn of oil, and God says, nope, not this one. Well, Lord, he's kind of handsome. I mean, he looks good. He's the oldest. He's the strongest. I mean, you can probably imagine in Samuel's thoughts. I mean, why not him? He looks the part. Now, move to the next one. And on down he goes. And finally, Samuel gets to the last one, and he says, Jesse, wait a minute. Are all your boys here? Because God said one of your boys is going to be a king. Well, I mean, there's David. Get him in here. And they bring him in, and what happens? The oil goes on David, right? When everyone saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king, right? I think that's a line in a song somewhere. But you know what happened? There's a little statement in there that God says. And he says this, man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart, right? Because look, you can look like you have it all together outside, but Jesus is saying, out of the heart it flows the trash in our lives. You might look great on the outside, but Jesus is looking at the heart. He wants to know what's going on the inside, right? And so Jesus had a lot to say about the heart. And the heart is this mysterious reality that allows us to experience the fullness of life. I mean, it includes emotion, but it's not limited to just emotion. And according to the scripture, the heart can be grieved, it can be troubled, it can be broken, it can be pierced, it can be divided, a divided heart. I don't know what to do. My heart's divided. We've all been there. A heart can be divided and it can be joyful. The heart is the truest expression of who you are. And so you and I must learn to recognize this treasure of a heart that God gave us. And we need to guard it. Number two, if you're writing the outline down, prioritize the task. Prioritize the task. You see, having identified the biblical mandate to recognize the treasure of the heart, we need to prioritize the task of guarding the heart. And I got to be honest with you, I love discipling other people. I love doing that. All of us ought to have someone who's pouring into us, and you ought to be pouring into someone else. Women, that includes all of us. You ought to be pouring into someone else. And I've gone through hundreds of different discipleship materials, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. And I mean, a lot of those materials cover things like prayer and giving and church attendance and serving God and serving others and lots of other spiritual disciplines. But I can't really think of one that I've used that I did not have to supplement with this key teaching to a new believer of guarding the heart. That's a key that's got to be taught in discipling people. It gets overlooked, guarding the heart. And the scriptures attach such a priority to guarding the heart. So many times we neglect to guard our heart in the matters of life. I got to be honest with you. Every time I go into Lowe's or Lurgan, I got to guard my heart. Because every time I go into Lowe's, I got to walk past the DeWalt section. I don't care if I need something in the plumbing section. I got to walk past the DeWalt section. And my heart says, you need this tool. And the truth of the matter is, I probably wouldn't even know how to use it if I did have it. Right? So truth and reality, the truth is, I don't need it. And the reality is, I don't have the money for it. But my heart says, you just get it. See what I'm saying? Our heart, now that's a funny way to say it, but we can take that into the deep issues of life. You know, well, the grass is going to be greener on the other side. That's a lie from the devil, right? That's a heart. That's a divided heart. And so you and I have to prioritize the task of guarding the heart. And most of you here this morning could testify of an experience where someone used a lame excuse of selfishness to justify an ungodly action. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen it in this area many, many times as a pastor and just even as a missionary, but in the area of dating. And I'm not just talking about teenagers, I'm talking about adults too that are in that stage. And I'll hear things like, yeah, they make me feel great. Okay, well, that's wonderful. And through the conversation, we get to the topic, well, are they a believer? Well, no, but I know God wants me to win them to the Lord. Well, that sounds noble. It's spiritual. And yes, that has worked out for some people. But here's the thing. It clearly goes against what God has established, right? And so what have we done? We've allowed our heart to justify an ungodly action because our heart has deceived us. Right? And so, I'm just saying that we've got to be careful with the heart, and we need to prioritize the task of guarding the heart. Guarding the heart is more about feeding your soul than just avoiding sin. It's feeding your soul. And when our heart is strong, and we're able to resist then the temptations that cause many to stumble. So recognize the treasure, prioritize the task, and notice third, Minimize the trash. Minimize the trash. Look again at Proverbs chapter 4 and notice verse 24 and 25. Excuse me. Notice verse 24, Proverbs chapter 4. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You see, guarding the heart includes seeking God, but we cannot ignore the instruction to minimize the trash in our lives. And these verses give us command to put away. That word forward there, it means crooked. That's what that word means, crooked speech. You say one thing to this person, you say another thing over there. It's not straight. It's not on the narrow. It's almost double-minded. It's forward. That's what he's talking about there. And perverse speech. Keep your eyes forward. Choose good paths. We get the same kind of instruction in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, here it is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And both those passages reveal that we need to remove trash from in our lives so that we can run the race that is set before us, keeping our eyes on the prize and running in the right direction. Now, Jesus had another way that he put it to the Pharisees. You can look over here. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Again, Jesus doesn't mince words here. Imagine if you walked into a place, you're holding a tent meeting. Do you remember the old tent meetings? They'd throw sawdust on the ground and you know, people would come in and the old evangelist would step up. Imagine if the old evangelist stepped up and started preaching his sermon from Matthew. Let's go here. Matthew chapter 23. Look there. Matthew chapter 23. And he's verses 25 to 28. Imagine he gets up to the pulpit. He says, good evening. And he starts like this. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may also be clean. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Amen. Altar call. Man, they would run you out of there like a greased pig, I guess. I don't know. That's the only thing that came to my mind. I don't know. But you know what? He cut right to the chase, didn't he? He said, you look outwardly good, but I'm looking at the heart. And inside, you're just dead. You're full of dead man's bones. You stink. You are rotten on the inside. That's what he's saying. Jesus is always concerned with the heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Solomon said, out of the heart flows the issues of life. And I got to be honest, some trash is pretty easy to identify. Some trash is pretty easy to identify. Things like moral corruption, perverse behavior, evil acts that harm others. But what about the more subtle trash that we as believers wrestle with? Things that people don't normally think about, like lack of faith or unwillingness to forgive or materialism or pride or lust or gossip. Trash, big or small, is still trash. Amen? And garbage in is garbage out. Just an old saying. Basically, they took for the heart, out of it flows the issues of life. So whatever you put in. A pastor once said this one time, and I've never forgotten it. This isn't original with me. A man's not what he thinks he is, but what a man thinks he is. That's pretty clever, isn't it? A man's not what he thinks he is, but what a man thinks he is. That's pretty clever. Does your heart have an accumulation of trash that is built up over time? Are there things that need to be dealt with? Listen to me. They just won't magically disappear on their own. You need to bring the trash to the cross and let the blood of Christ remove the trash and the guilt that goes along with it. The guilt that goes along with it. Right? Because all of us allow trash to build up in our lives. You know, I kind of liken it like this. How many of you in here have had a catheterization? Anybody in here had a catheterization? Okay, a couple folks, all right? So, you know, that just didn't happen overnight. And so one day you're just kind of, you went up the steps or, you know, you're walking to the car or you were just doing something and all of a sudden you're just kind of like, whew, I got to catch my breath. I don't know what that is. And so you're just like, well, maybe it's my age. And so you just kind of ignore it and you go on and you go around your business and a couple weeks later you're like, man, I'm there's something not right. And so what do? You do the dreaded thing. I better call my doctor. And so you call the doctor, and the doctor says, come on in. And they said, well, tell me what's happening. And you go down through all the things, and he says to you, or she says to you, well, sounds like you might have a blockage. What? A blockage? Like that happens in sinks and toilets, right? Like a blockage? What do you mean by that? And so there you are, and they say, well, you're going to have to get a heart catheterization. And so you do. You go in and they go in and they give you the news after you're done. Well, we had to unclog this one and this one. Why? What happened? Because over time, something built up. And then all of a sudden, it caused a problem. Let's spiritualize that a little bit. You see, when you let stuff go in your life, it just accumulates. It's just a trash heap. It's just a little here, a little there, a little over here, but pretty soon it creates a blockage. And pretty soon you're walking a little bit more distant. Pretty soon you're not into the word. Pretty soon you're just, your language is starting, that came out of my mouth. I can't believe that came out of my mouth. Why? Because there's signs that something's going on. There's a blockage. And the only thing that you can do is go into the surgeon and get the blockage removed. Well, praise God, we have the best heart surgeon in the world, amen? And you and I need catheterizations of our spiritual heart many times in our lives. We need the Lord to unclog the blockages that hinder the moving of God in our lives. Minimize the trash. Notice the fourth strategy. Final strategy, energize the heart with truth. Notice again verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 4. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Attend to my words. In other words, pay attention, boys. Listen up, take it in. And the emphasis that is given is strong. And Solomon is saying, boys, what I'm going to tell you is truth. And we need truth, don't we? We need truth in this world. Jesus said the truth would set us free. We live in a culture that is opposed to truth. Opposed to truth. And our culture promotes tolerance over truth. You want to know where we are right now? You know, the prophet Isaiah wrote where we are right now. This isn't coming. This is where we are. It's a wake-up call to you and I. Keep your hand there in Proverbs. Go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. All right, Isaiah chapter 5, and I want you to notice verse 20. And this is a part, Isaiah chapter 5, there are six different woes that God gives. Now let me say, we use woe way different than how God used woe. Like when a nice Harley drives by me, I'm like, whoa, right? Or a nice car or whatever. Whoa. Like Alicia works at Chick-fil-A and her boss drives the most beautiful white Camaro you ever saw. Every time I pass it, whoa. But that is not the way God uses woe. As a matter of fact,
When God uses woe, it's never in a good sense. It means something's coming. Listen up. And that's what he says here. So look at this. Pay attention. Look at what he says here in Isaiah chapter 5. And notice verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's exactly the culture that you and I find ourselves in right now. Everything is being flipped. What used to be wrong is now right, and what is right is labeled as wrong. Right? It's just happening everywhere. As a matter of fact, if this Equality Act passes, then churches like this one, like your pastor, who preach the Word of God, can be fined. The pastor can be labeled as a domestic terrorist. And because he chooses not to compromise on the truth of what God says, your pastor might someday find himself in jail. And you know what? And I say this, Pastor Darrell, then I'm going with you. I'm going with you, and we'll be cellmates, because you know why? I'm not going to compromise what God says in His Word. Good is good and evil is evil. I don't care what the world says. Amen. We need to. And you know what? If we're going to be fined for it, then take up an offering and pay the fine. Cut my mission support and pay the fine. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, that's now. That is now. And let me just say, just north of us in Canada, there are pastors in jail right now for preaching God's word, saying that a man needs to marry a woman and a woman needs to marry a man. It's happened. It's right there. So these aren't the days that are coming. And King Solomon is reminding us that there's a clear difference between right and wrong, good and bad, righteousness and evil. And that's why he said in verse 26, ponder the path that your feet are on. Watch where your feet are going. Make sure you're standing on the solid foundation of truth. Let me remind us, and this is preaching to the choir, this just doesn't contain truth. It is truth. It's absolute truth. Amen? Amen. That's what it is. And it's not enough to know just the facts about the faith. There are many who claim to be Christians who know the facts, but they've never been transformed by the truth. They know about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. They know about prayer. They know about church attendance. They know about Bible study. They know about witnessing. But too many believers, or people that claim to be believers, treat knowing Christ as a simple fact and not transforming truth. Has your life been changed by the gospel? Mine has. Right? I mean, that's the guy you see here today isn't who I was. I still have a long way to go. I still just asked my wife. We just talked about this last night. Have a long way to go, right? I said to her, honey, I feel like I've failed you in this area. I have a long way to go. Sometimes I speak harsh to my kids. They'll remind you, Dad's human. We make mistakes. We call the wrong shot. But you know what? We need to stand on the absolute truth of God's word. Transformed by that truth. You got to energize your heart with the truth. Speaking of the truth, we're living in an ever-changing world, aren't we? I mean, just think of all that's changed in the last year and a half. Can you even write it down? I mean, you can't even. And as a matter of fact, just when you think you got it, it'll change again, right? And sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. So can I just remind you of eight things that'll never change? Eight things that will never change. You can write these down, or you know, I'll try and go a little bit slow through. I'm not going to just share what they are, all right? Number one, God's commission will never change, Mark 16:15. That will never change. I don't care what disease is circulating the world today. God's commission, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, will never change. Amen? It doesn't matter what's going on. And by the way, COVID has stopped a lot of things, but it cannot stop the work of God. It cannot stop the witness of God. It can't stop the working of the Spirit of God. It can't stop the spread of the gospel.
Right? COVID has stopped a lot of things, but it can't stop that. God's commission will never change. Number two, God will never change. Amen? Malachi 3:6. I am God. I am therefore the Lord thy God, and I change not. I change not. Circumstances change. Your world changes. Your friends change. Your family dynamics change. Everything about being rooted and planted here can change, but we have a steady, we have a true north, and we can bank on the fact that regardless of the change going on around us, God will never change. You know what else won't change? Number three, God's word will never change. Amen? Oh, man can try and change it, but God says he's going to preserve it. And that will never change. 1 Peter 1:23. You know what else won't change? God's faithfulness will never change. Deuteronomy 7:9. Aren't you glad you serve a faithful God? A faithful God. I think about Tammy Decker, who's over here. We call her Nan. That's what we call her, Nan. She's our adopted grandma for the kids. But she's so much more than that. And she runs this little Christian school that over the years, Satan has tried to shut that thing down. I don't know how many times, 6, 7, easy, to the place where starting the first day of school, you did not know where you were going to be because that place where you were at said, I'm sorry, you can't be here anymore. We're selling this building. You got to go somewhere else. Up until the very next day, and God opened up, right? And I've seen that time and time and time again. God is faithful. Don't you love that song? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. God's faithfulness will never change. Fifth, God's purpose will never change. Hebrews 6:17 to 20. God is immutable. He never changes. God's purpose will never change. Number six, God's love will never change. John 3:16. Amen. For God so loved the world. Yeah, you know what? Love down here is based on what you can give me and what I can give you. That's the world's type of love. But God's love is different. It doesn't have anything to do with your performance. It doesn't have anything to do with what you give to him or what you can give back to him. He just loves you. Praise God. God's love will never change. You know what else won't change? God's judgment will never change. God's judgment will never change. Whether you're saved or unsaved, you will enter into judgment. It doesn't matter. If you're unsaved, you got a whole lot to worry about. You will stand before an almighty God, and you will have to give an account of your life. And he's going to ask you one thing. What did you do with my son, Jesus? But look at all these things I did. I was in church. I gave to the poor. I never murdered anybody. I even read my Bible. Did you know me? Well, I did a lot of things in your name. And you have those words, depart from me. I never knew you. You say you knew me, but I never knew you. Whew. Right? But if you're saved, You go into judgment too. Not for your sin. That's already been taken care of. Amen? Our sin has been taken care of. You and I will stand at the bema seat of Christ, where that will be a judgment of commendation, not condemnation. So we're going to be entering into judgment. And the fact of the matter is, God's judgment will never change. Number eight, final thing. And those of you who know Jesus, guess what? Will never change. Your destination will never change. Amen? You know, in my little GPS, I tell you, that thing and I, we get into some arguments. And I tell Siri, matter of fact, you know, last time I was here, I had my watch on that had Siri on it, and it stopped when I was preaching. It said, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you just said. You remember that? Well, I've never forgotten it, so I don't wear that watch when I go preaching anymore. I don't wear it because it's happened to me numbers of times. I don't understand it. Siri's always listening. I wish she'd get saved. That's what I wish. But anyway, you know, my GPS, it's always telling me recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. And I'm telling you, directions can change where I'm going. My destination might change where I'm going down here, right? Like I might be heading to Lowe's, but I might need to stop at the ice cream shop. right? I'm just saying. But my destination as a believer never changes. Amen? You, if you know Christ, are promised glory to be with Him. You see, Jesus Christ is the skilled heart surgeon, and by guarding your heart, you stay locked on the course of God's will. And the Bible says it is a wellspring of life. Guarding your heart is critical to experiencing all that God desires for your life. When you recognize the treasure and you prioritize the task, you minimize the trash, and you energize your heart with the truth from God's word, you are guarding your heart, and that places you in a position to receive the blessings of God. If you're a believer here today, then you and I need to be like David. And I think Zach said this verse up here, someone did, when David said, "Search me, O God, and try my heart, and see if there be any wicked way within me." You know what? Maybe today is just time for a catheterization, a good heart cleanse. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, that's where it starts, with the heart. It starts with receiving Christ Jesus' forgiveness for your sins and cleansing your heart. Because you can try everything else the world has to offer and it's just going to leave you empty. But Jesus Christ is the only way. It's the only way. And it starts with yielding your heart to Him, giving your heart to Jesus, asking Him to forgive your sins, to cleanse you from the inside out. Oh, you can try and clean up all the outside all you want, but until the inside's taken care of, what's on the inside is eventually going to come out again anyway. Because the Bible says, for out of it, the heart, flows what? The issues of life. But if you're a believer, maybe you just need a good heart cleanse. Whatever your need this morning, let's go to the Lord. Stand with me for prayer. Oh, most gracious Father, we come to you today in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, that we're even allowed to call you Father, to think that as a child of God, you said in your word that we are joint heirs with Jesus. Joint heirs. I can't even wrap my head around that. But I know this, Father. Sometimes, more often than not, my heart accumulates trash over time. It's easy to ignore it. It's easy to just pretend like it's not there and just kind of move on. But Lord, it's there and it needs to be dealt with. And if that's true for me, then I know that's true for my brothers and sisters here today. And so, Father, today we figuratively crawl up onto your operating table and ask you, we place ourselves under the anesthesia of the Holy Spirit, and we ask you as the divine heart surgeon to open us up and remove the blockages that hinder your working in our lives. Remove the shame, remove the guilt, remove the things that just drag us away from you. Father, would you cleanse us this morning? Oh God, like David, search me, oh God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. God, I pray for that this morning. And Father, if there's one here today that does not know you as Savior, oh, they know about you. They're kind of like the person that knows about you, like I talked about earlier. They know about your death. They know about your resurrection. They know about going to church. They know about reading the Bible. They know about maybe even giving. But they've never come to know you. Oh God, today, would your Holy Spirit energize that heart? Would you regenerate that heart that is cold and dead and bring life to it. Oh, Father, I know you're in that business of saving people. And so, God, may your work be done today. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.